morning, everyone. Thank you for taking your time on a Saturday to come out and help us with this process. Since we are shy on participation, can we get some of you guys to move up a little closer here so we can get the crowd maybe up closer to the whole process before we get underway? Thank you very much. While you're moving the tables, I just want to again thank you for taking the time to come out today. And the logistics in the facility are that we have bathrooms outside the door and to the right, and there's a couple off of the hallway down here. We've got a real full program, so we're not going to have a scheduled break. You might have noticed in the agenda package that we don't have a break scheduled in here for you. And we just want you to get up, get something to eat if you want, use the bathrooms, get a drink of water. Hope everybody has their cell phones turned off. And with that, I want to ask if Mayor Dave Romero could come up and just give us a few words before we get started here this morning. Thank you.
Well, good morning. I hope things don't echo too much in here. I presume people are just sleeping in today and they'll show up later on. I want to welcome all of you, if you're from out of town, to San Luis Obispo. We always welcome you, particularly at our new Costco. So come and shop when you get through with the session today. And those of you who are from San Luis Obispo, welcome to Grace Church. Grace Church decided last year that they would be part of the community, and so this facility is available now for many meeting events like this. In any event, San Luis Obispo is pleased to be the central city of this county and pleased to be part of the center of all the activities. Personally, I'm very much in favor of the program that we're starting on now, the 2050 planning study, because one of the weaknesses we've all had in our area is not looking far enough ahead. The politics are such that politicians turn over quickly. They don't look ahead very far because things won't happen during their terms. And so we need to think ahead so that by the time we get to the year 2050, we will have developed our communities in an appropriate fashion. So thank you for your interest in coming out, and we're very happy to host this meeting here in San Luis Obispo.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate that very much. I want to go down the little list I've got of folks to thank who've contributed to making this all come together for us. I want to start off with Aaron Arlen-Janae from APCD. She's not here this morning, and Dave Church as well from LAFCO, who've been working with this program last spring when we got started. Jim Lopes from County Planning was worked with us last spring as well. I don't think he's here this morning either. A large group from the county staff helped us put this on, and the next several meetings, that includes Pat Beck, Chuck Stevenson, I mentioned Jim, John Ufrat's here, Marsha Lee, who I don't think is here, Dana Lilly, there he is, did a lot of work for us, and Brenda Auerkirk from the Ag Commissioner's Office. And Brenda is way back over there. She'll be speaking a little later on. Walt Bremer and Alan Hopkins from the GIS lab at Cal Poly. You'll see the maps on the walls and the maps on the tables, the little map atlases that we put together. It's going to be the basis of our work into next spring on this. And then those folks who've helped us with some of the presentations. John Dunn and Mike Manchek from EVC, looking at some of the economic issues. Jim Grant and Bill Statler from the County of San Luis Obispo and the City of San Luis Obispo on the fiscal issues with our governmental agencies. Ray Belknap, former director at the Land Conservancy, who stepped in at the last minute because Brian Stark had to be out of town today. And then I want to note and thank Julian Crocker, who we were going to have an education component with this, but when we looked at our schedule, we found that we were just too tight on time, and so I had to tell Julian we were going to throw him off the island at the early stage here, and we're going to bring him back in with some of the school issues a little later on in the process. So with that, I also want to note Mother's Tavern, who did doing the catering for us today. There's plenty of food here, as we can see, so everybody eat up. Otherwise, I'm going to send it all home with Ron to his house tonight, I guess. AGP Video is here. So we want to note them. They work hard all over our county with a number of public meetings, and I think Bob and his crew are much more well-versed in government issues than they thought they ever would be in their lives at this time. So with that, let me start talking about the program and where we're headed with this whole process. You know, it says Community 2050 up there, and as Dave noted, we're looking towards the long-term future, towards our children's children and the legacy that's left behind. We're not going to, you know, be able to accurately predict what it's going to be like that far out, but that's the framework we want our thinking to be around. You know, we do our best predicting some of the shorter term stuff, and we have a hard enough time at that. But it's the framework for thinking that we want to drive towards with the notion of Community 2050 and what our community is going to be like. The next slide we have here shows California some roughly 70 years ago, and it doesn't show up very well. We might be able to play with the lights here and dim this a little bit if we can. There aren't too many of us here that can remember 70 years ago, but it really wasn't that long ago, and that's what that area of San Fernando Valley looked like. And if you look at the ridge line at the back of this picture, and you look at the ridge line in this photo here, you see how much things have changed in that 70 years. And we know the change is coming to our area, and we're certainly hoping it's not going to look like this. In fact, there are a lot of people here who are still connected to that community in Southern California, and while I'm sure there's a lot of great things about it, it's just not the community we want to become in San Luis Obispo. So we went through a process last fall and spring and held some public workshops in which we looked at what some of our values were around these issues and started to frame where we're headed. What we did was we came through with a whole lot of summary concepts from those workshops, and when you look at what those things have to tell us, we are following through in a lot of those areas already. What we're really looking at is how can we better coordinate on those issues as we move forward. Because the availability of natural resources, people want development adjacent to communities. They want infill and compact development to occur. They want more housing closer to jobs. And they're also looking at affordable housing. That's been a major discussion in our community over the past several years as we've seen the median price move past $550,000. Again, they wanted jobs closer to housing and intensify existing downtowns and commercial areas, some of the trends that we're beginning to see, especially here in San Luis Obispo. Open space and agricultural land preservation is a highly valued concern. And the buffers that separate communities are what people want to see us maintain. And the county's going to talk a little bit about some of their efforts moving in that regard. And, of course, scenic views as well. So what came out of this were what our next steps were going to be. And I clicked it one click faster than I had planned to there, but what you see in the red box up above there is the stage we're at now. We're beginning this effort of collaborating on a regional-based planning effort to look at how these things come together. And the reason we're here as the Central Coast component today is we want to look at the county in the smaller subsections that seem to operate as independent units as part of our whole. That is the North County, the South County, the Central Area, and the North Coast. They all have distinct characteristics and features and values that we're looking to incorporate into this overall countywide program or regional program, as we call it. So to start that process, we We've worked at identifying stakeholders, and as we can see today, we didn't get as many out as we had hoped for this initial kickoff. But we've worked together with our elected officials, and we plan to continue working with them as a steering committee to move this agenda forward. So again, we're sort of kicking things off today here in this central area, and we're hoping we're going to be able to build some momentum towards our efforts next year. This chart shows in a graphic form the essence of what our grant application is to the state under what's called the Blueprint program. So Blueprint funding is what we're looking to move forward with next spring in this process. We're looking to try to define much greater direction out of what we come up with today as we move into that process, and look to move those towards planning concepts and financial resources, defining how we're going to pay for those things that we want, and look at a structure to move forward with from there. So we are looking at developing a regional comprehensive vision, one that entails looking at what are our regional priorities, how we're going to establish some policies to try to pull those activities together amongst and between our agencies, and look at a strategy for regional infrastructure needs to finance those, because that's one of the key things that we face at the Council of Governments in terms of transportation, the cities face on a daily basis in a number of arenas, the county as well, through the vast area that they have to be responsible for. So with that, today's agenda, you have in your packet. We're looking at going through profiling this audience, talking about some survey questions that the county's recently surveyed on, and moving forward with a discussion of growth trends from Chuck Stevenson. Fiscal resources, Bill Statler and Jim Grant are going to address those issues for us so we can maintain a framework in our thinking and our action around how we are going to fund these things and where we're going to look to the resources to move these issues forward. Economic vitality. John Dunn has been very generous in offering to work with us on this, and his newly found vision as a regional guy. I was kidding him when we were talking about this as the former manager from the city of San Luis Obispo. His perspective has shifted now that he's looking at things from a countywide basis, and I think he's going to talk about that today. Dana Lilly's going to discuss housing. We've had a group that talked about housing and helped us shape those issues. Agriculture, Brenda Auerkirk, the Assistant Agriculture Commissioner, is going to talk about those issues. And as I mentioned, Ray Belknap, or I'm skipping my boss, Ron DeCarlo, Transportation. He's going to ding me for that. And then Ray Belknap on open space and natural resources. So we've got a few more of these meetings coming up, and certainly we'll hope that you'll enjoy your time here today and find it valuable and help us recruit more folks to come out for the upcoming meetings in the North County and the South County and the North Coast. So with that, I'm going to get out of the way. We're going to try to keep moving along here pretty good today. Since our crowd's a little smaller than we thought, we may be able to get out of here earlier than we had originally planned when we go through our questions. So with that, I'm going to turn it over and have Pat Beck do a little introduction here. Oh, no, excuse me. I'm jumping ahead, Pat. Chuck Anders. I got my Chucks mixed up. Chuck Anders is going to come on now and talk to you about the profiling and the clicker. Chuck?
Good morning, everyone. What we're going to do initially as we go through this process, we're going to use a tool called, it's an interactive polling technology. And I see a lot of faces in the audience, and I know you've used this before. But what this does, it's an FM radio transmitter receiver, and it provides the opportunity for you to instantaneously express your opinion with regard to issues, and then we can consolidate those opinions and see the results immediately, and then talk about those results. So we want to use this, take advantage of this technology to get everyone's sense of the issues as we walk through this. And we're going to use it consistently in each of the four workshops that we have planned over the next month or so. And then we can look at the individual regional opinions, and we can also consolidate the data and look at the overall opinions. In addition to collecting the data, what this technology is very useful at is really focusing on critical issues so that we can talk about them. So we're not just collecting data. We also want to use this to talk about and focus the discussion. Before we begin, we'd like to collect some background information, find out basically who's here, and then you can have an idea of who's in the audience and who they kind of represent. And we can also use that information to look at the results by demographic category. So the first question, whoops, we need to do our high-tech projector switch. The first question is, where do you live? So if you take one of the clickers, and we call them clickers because they remind you of TV remote control, select the number that corresponds to the appropriate answer for you. Okay, now this is where we kind of register everybody's participation. So to make sure that your clicker got registered, press the same answer again. Okay, looks like we have 32 people participating. The next question is, do you live in an incorporated city or town or rural area? Now, if you see your clicker number in that box down at the below, the system's waiting for your answer. So number 46, put your answer in again. There you go. Where do you work? Number 22 and 100. How long have you lived in San Luis Obispo County? And what is your household income? Now, this technology, this process is anonymous, so people can feel free to answer the questions as they like. We do sort it by demographic category, but not by individual keypad or response. We really don't keep track of who has what keypad. Number 24. Do you own your own residence? This is the toughest question of them all. What is your age? And your ethnicity? And what stakeholder group best describes your participation in this meeting? And did you participate in any of the previous 2050 workshops, either the regional meetings, the two regional meetings, or the summit meeting? Okay, so it looks like about two-thirds of you here are from San Luis Obispo area. However, all the other areas are represented. Almost 72% live in an incorporated area, 25% in an unincorporated, and 3% in rural area. 60% work in San Luis Obispo, and 12% of the participants are retired. How long have you lived in the county? Boy, over 50% have lived here 20 years or more. Household income. We have a good distribution of household income. Do you own your own residence? Almost 80% of the participants own their own residence. Guys outnumbered the ladies, almost 2-1. We have pretty good distribution of age, but most of the folks here are between 40 and 65. ethnicity is a good participation, at least representation, at least of every ethnicity group except American Indian, primarily Anglo and white. Stakeholder groups that are represented, elected officials. Let's see, we have two elected officials here, three participants from advisory committees, 11 folks that are represent government in some form or another, one person from financial and development community, one nonprofit, seven students, and seven folks are here representing themselves as private citizens. And about half of you participated in the 2050 workshops and half didn't. So that's just a good cross-section of who's here, and this will be useful information as we go through these workshops to see if there's any common themes with regard to opinions and perspectives by these demographic categories. Now, I think it was only just a few weeks ago the county had commissioned a survey. And in this countywide telephone survey of, I believe it was approximately 400 participants throughout the county, they ask a series of questions relating to growth. And so what we would like to do here today is ask you all those same questions and see if the participants that are participating in these workshops, if their opinions correspond to the results of the countywide random survey. So, in order to entice you to stick around to the end, what the planners of this conference have done, decided is that we're going to collect these data from you right now, and then we're going to show them to you at the end of the meeting and show you the comparison between the county survey and your opinions. And the reason we need to do that is because we need to take the data, put it into some different charts so that we can show you easy comparisons. So the first set of questions dealt with community issues. And community issues were traffic congestion, population growth, lack of a well-paying job, not enough housing priced for the average worker, too much development in rural areas, and declining quality of life. And they asked a simple question, which was on a scale from 1 to 9, how would you rate the significance of this problem? Issue in your area. So if it's not a problem, you press a 1. If it's extremely serious, you press a 9. And if it's somewhere between on that range, you may say, well, it's a 7 or an 8 or a 2. So go ahead and express your opinion. And in this case, when that bar, you've got 20 seconds, and when that bar reaches 0, the system is going to move forward. So if you don't get your answer in, we won't get your opinion. So you beat the bar. Population growth, how would you rank that? How serious is this issue in your area? Number 24. Lack of a well-paying job. $114 and $135. Not enough housing price for the average worker. And too much development in rural areas. And declining quality of life. Okay, now we're going to ask you all a question that we didn't ask in the survey. And that is another aspect. We're going to go through that list again and ask the question, how well are we addressing this issue today? So on the same scale from 1 to 9, if you think, boy, we're really addressing traffic congestion very well, you'd press a 9, or you say, well, I think it's more a 3. So on, in your opinion, how well are we addressing traffic congestion today? How about population growth? Number 46. Who's sitting next to number 46? Nudge him. Lack of well-paying jobs. Not enough housing price for the average worker. Number 24. Too much development in rural areas. Declining quality of life. Okay. Now, in the survey, they also ask a series of questions. So we've got about seven questions that we would like to pose to you. The first one, which of the following best reflects your opinion about how city governments and the county should cooperate on land use and growth issues? Do you think they should cooperate more closely than in the past, the same degree as in the past, work independently, or don't know, or you don't care? All right. Do you think that local government should match plans for new housing with plans for job growth in a specific area? Or should they plan for new housing even if not many jobs are planned in a specific area? Again, your choices are plan new housing to match plans for jobs, plan new housing even if not many jobs are planned, or don't know, don't care. Number 24. Next one. How small or large an area should planners be thinking about when making plans for housing and job growth? Do you think that local governments should plan to match growth in jobs and affordable housing? So across wider geographic areas, such as the North County, South County, Central Region, across the county as a whole, or don't know, don't care? Number 45. Do you think it's better to steer growth toward undeveloped rural areas, areas already developed communities, both, neither, or don't care? We have limited water supply in San Luis Obispo County and a growing need for affordable housing. Which of the following options would you be more willing to accept in addressing these two shortages? Would you choose to conserve water, pay for additional water, limit growth to match existing water supply, or no opinion? Should local government allow new cities to develop next to existing ones, plan to retain open land between cities, or don't know or don't care? 22 and 24. Okay, a couple more questions. This was a pretty extensive survey. They asked the participants, which of these two items would you prefer? A single family detached home on a large parcel of land, which is not near park, shopping, school, or work, or a single family detached home on an average or small lot near park, shopping, schools, and work. So on this one, if you like the single family home on a large parcel, you'd press 1. If you like the average or small lot, you'd press 2. Near parks, shopping, and schools. Give everybody a little more time on this one. 46 and 60. Okay. And a similar question, that is, would you prefer a neighborhood that is a mix of single-family homes, apartments, and condo projects near parks, shopping, schools, and work, or a neighborhood of single-family only, which is not near parks, shopping, schools, or work? Which of those two would you prefer? All right, one last thing on the survey. And in this case, what I'd like you to do is rank these items, this list of activities that could take place in the community where the focus could be. And that is A, developing more transportation choices, in other words, less dependence on cars. B, creating more walkable communities with housing mixed with parks, shopping, and schools. C, increasing affordable housing supply. D, protecting the environment. Or E, developing communities with housing near jobs. So I'd like you to take out a piece of paper and a pencil, if you would. Everybody grab a piece of paper and a pencil and identify A, B, C, D, or E. Which one is your number one priority? So write down that letter and that item. Which one is your number one priority? Yes. Which one would you like to see happen in your community? Personally, where would you like to see the emphasis added? Which is your number one? Okay, write down that letter, because the letters will show up in the next one. Now, which is the last one? Actually, what I'd like you to do, I'm not explaining this as correctly as I'd like. I'd like you to write down the letters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on your paper. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Put you to work here. And the one that you think is the highest priority, write that letter next to the 5. Highest priority is a 5. Everybody listen up. Highest priority is not a 1. That's the lowest. The highest priority is a 5. The one you picked for the lowest priority, you write next to the 1. Now, the second highest priority, you put next to the 4. Which one would you select next to the second priority? Put that next to the 4. This is what people were asked to do during the telephone poll. The third highest priority you put next to the 3. Okay, and then whatever's left you put in the 2. So, Question is, developing more transportation choices, the A. If you put the A next to the 5, you say that's the highest priority, you press a 5 on your keypad. If you put it as a 2, you'd press a 2. Ah, you got it in. Okay, the next one, creating more walkable, B, creating more walkable communities. How did you rank that? What number did you press that next to? Put that next to. C, increasing affordable housing supply. How did you rate that? D, protecting the environment. Number 22. And E, developing communities with housing near jobs. Okay, and we will be back to you after we compile this information, and you'll be able to see your opinions compared to the opinions countywide. So this is really exciting because it gives us an opportunity to see if the participants in this workshop are, in their opinions and perspectives, represent the overall county perspective. Okay, with that, Pat?
Thank you. Now I'm introducing Chuck Stevenson. Chuck Stevenson is the planner responsible for heading up the county's general plan review. Recently took smart growth principles before the County Board of Supervisors, and we'll be looking at how we should be integrating smart growth ideas into the county's general plan. And he's going to be talking to you today about some general growth trend issues. I think the purpose of today's meeting, as is different from the last meeting, is last meeting we were kind of hypothetically saying where we should be growing. Now we're really getting more data on the table, more information. So the presentations today are intended to give you a little specific information about each of these topics and build towards the next group of workshops. So. Take it away, Chuck.
Thank you, Pat. Good morning, everybody. My topic this morning is on growth trends, and I have good news and bad news. Because it's Saturday morning, I'll give you the bad news first and end with the good news. Why do we look at growth trends? We look at growth trends because it helps us to understand the many challenges that we're facing, and it helps us to formulate solutions and strategies to try to deal with those. Some of the many challenges that we're facing ahead of us are massive population increases in California. Experts continue to tell us and predict that we'll be seeing significant growth in California over the next 20 years. Our challenge is providing affordable workforce housing and sustaining our economic development and maintaining our community livability in face of tremendous growth challenges.
the state's housing crisis is affecting us. It's affecting our housing prices, mainly because of limited supply and high demand that we're seeing. The cost of our housing continues to soar. The state has estimated that we need approximately 200,000 new homes every year for the next 20 years just to keep up with our population growth. So how are we doing with that? Actually, between 1990 and the year 2000, the state only constructed roughly 140,000 dwellings per year, which means we had a significant deficit. And, of course, that is limiting supply and raising demand and thus raising prices. We expect explosive and unprecedented growth continuing in the state of California. This will have an unprecedented amount of housing needed. And as you can see on the graphic, we're surrounded. Fortunately for us, most of the growth is anticipated in Southern California. Probably 60% of that growth is estimated to occur there. The Central Valley, roughly 20% of that additional growth. The Bay Area, a lesser amount, and to us, less than that. However, those surrounding metropolitan areas are creating pressure for us. I'm showing you this graph just to illustrate an interesting contrast. We're showing several larger metropolitan counties and their growth rates compared with Monterey County at the top and San Luis Obispo County at the bottom. And these three larger metropolitan areas are experiencing significant growth rates. Ours is actually pretty good. We're in the little less than 2% annual growth rate. However, as we can just sense from our growth in our communities, we're facing growth pressures. And it's mainly because of our limited resources and limited ability to expand our infrastructure needs. So we are facing growth pressure. The most startling and compelling challenge I think that we face is the affordability index, as it's referred to. Only 10% of households in this county can currently afford to purchase a median-priced home. And recently released numbers on this in July are that the median-priced home is about $566,000, which is just amazing. And adding to the problem is the increased competition for housing throughout the county as retirees or other people interested in moving into the area come here with large amounts of equity and can afford to pay cash for many homes. It really forces that competition up. The result is that we really need a variety of housing product other than the conventional single-family home on a large lot. We need apartments, condominiums, infill housing, as well as senior housing. So how are we doing to help ourselves in this county? I put this on just to illustrate a little situation. The top number indicates the number of building permits that the County of San Luis Obispo issued in 2003 and 2004. These are building permits issued for all types of residential uses. Of those, only 60 were multifamily units. And we usually look at multifamily units as an indicator. Those are generally more affordable. They're on smaller areas of land, generally smaller buildings. And so it's a bit of a measuring stick on how we're doing. So about 5%.
Chuck, are those in the unincorporated area?
Yes. I'm going to get to you in just a second. last year we did a little better. Again, about 1,200 total units, and 85 were for multifamily units. I compared this with the city, and thanks, John, for the prompt. Just a glance at it, the city is doing significantly better, which is good news. In 2003-2004, 123 permits were issued for housing units, of which 10 were multifamily, about 8%. But last year, a significant improvement, almost 55% of all new housing units permits issued were for multifamily. That's good. The affordable housing crisis also affects our economic sustainability. Why is that? It's because for business attraction, expansion, and retention, it really depends on a variety of things, but two principal things. One is a dependable, locally available, trained workforce and affordable housing. And where these vital components are missing, this can choke off business growth. We hear frequently in the papers weekly about businesses either considering moving out of the area or shutting down because of lack of affordable housing for their employees. The affordable housing crisis also affects our schools. Several school districts in the county have been experiencing significant enrollment declines over the last few years, and this is particularly troublesome when we look at elementary schools. And it's generally attributed to the cost of housing, and families simply can't afford the high price. These charts indicate school enrollment and really tell an interesting story. I don't know if you can read these very well, but these are from the top left, San Luis Obispo School District, Atascadero, Unified, Morro Bay, Napomo, and Paso Robles. The top line in each one of these charts tracks school enrollment for elementary schools, and that's what I'd just like to focus on. You'll notice that in San Luis Coastal Unified, Atascadero, and Morro Bay, pretty significant decline in elementary school enrollment. Napomo and Paso Robles kind of holding their own for now. Another trend where we're seeing and tracking is our transportation patterns. And what this graph is showing, this is a statewide population statistic that shows that our population relates our population growth to the amount of vehicle miles traveled each year. And basically, this is saying to us that we're not only driving a lot more, but we're driving greater distances. On a national basis, we're driving